Top This, starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfeld.
Howdy.
And Joe Laurie, Jr.
Hello.
And now, Ward Wilson.
Thank you, Charles Stark, and good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This? Like the Army football team, we ramble on in our carefree, unrehearsed way. Our three wits do not know what jokes have been chosen until the versatile Peter Donald reads them on the air. Then they try to top them. They have no scripts, but rely on memory and ability to switch jokes to make them fit. If Peter Donald reads your submitted joke, you get $10.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer. Then our panelists try to top the score on the laugh meter registered by Peter Donald.
Each time they fail to top your score, you win $5 more, which means you may win $25.
Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor.
So let's get on with the laughs, provided you fellas are all cooperative tonight. And I hate to break up that yawn of Senator Ford. Are you?
We're ready? Co-op.
Yeah.
You're all ready, huh? All right, let's see. Here's the first joke, and it was sent in by Mrs. Anna Lewis of Cambridge, Massachusetts, and it's on the subject of something I hope none of you ever become, tramp.
Who does she hate?
So, Peter, it's up to you. Tramp, 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 the gags are marching.
Well, a tramp knocked at the back door of a house, and the lady of the house answered the door.
And she said, "Yes, my good man, what can I do for you?"
So the tramp says, "Look, lady, can you help me out? I was at the front."
She said, "Oh, my dear boy, come right in. Come right in. I usually don't give anything to strangers, but you are obviously an unfortunate veteran, and I do understand your problem. My nephew was also at the front. He used to tell me, I think, that he was a brigadier general. Maybe he said he was generally in the brig. I don't remember, but he was something. Do come in, and I'll make you a nice dinner."
So she gave him this dinner. She cooked the whole works, the whole meal, right through to the coffee, and the tramp finished everything up.
I said, "Now, young man, you were going to tell me your story when I answered the door. What did you start to say about being at the front?"
He says, "Well, ma'am, when you interrupted, I was just trying to tell you. I was at the front, but when you didn't answer, I came around to the back door."
And that was only 350 on the last meet award.
You allow our three wits plenty of latitude. However, Mrs. Lewis has $10 to start with, and maybe somebody will slide under that 350. Harry, you seem to be very anxious tonight, so let's
go with you. Well, I have one of a different... This is about a vagabond, which is another form of tramp, that's all.
Oh,
why don't you let me guess?
Oh, yes, vagabond. Yeah. But this is a story about a vagabond going on the road, and he was penniless and hungry and tattered, but he was good-looking. And he came to a castle. And he came to this castle, but they had a terrible tyrant of a king in there, and he had a daughter, Princess... And he wouldn't let her see anybody. She never saw a man, and her heart was just breaking for romance. And he knocked at the door, and finally she said, "There may be somebody in distress," to the king, and the king finally grudgingly opened the door, and he left him in. He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want something to eat and lodging for the night." And she saw that he was handsome, had beautiful eyes, and he saw that she was beautiful, beautiful thing. So the king grudgingly brought out the pot of beans and put it down, and she kept looking at this vagabond, and he kept looking at her, and she said, "Oh, if he would only take me in his arms and kiss me, that's all I ask. But take me in his arms. I would love the thrill of that." And he looked at her, but the king was a mean guy, and he grabbed the pot of beans right in the middle of his meal and took it away from him, and said, "In what style? You get out of here. You can sleep on the ground, and that's all." So late that night, when the king was snoring, she came up on the balcony, and there was this vagabond, and she leaned over and said, "Now is your chance." He got up the balcony, ran down the kitchen, finished the rest of the beans.
For a moment there, I thought we were off on a Fitzgerald travelogue, Harry.
Say, what I'd like to know is, Ward, that wasn't an old story. That's a modern king. He opened his own door. No help.
Can you imagine what kings are coming to? They serve you beans themselves.
1,000 on the laugh meter.
However, Mrs. Lewis, with her 350, is still stuck with that original $10. And, Joe, I think your hand was upset.
Yeah, there was a conductor and a brakeman on a freight train. And the conductor of the freight train says to the brakeman, he says, "I saw a tramp get on that last car." He says, "Go back there and throw him off." He's okay. So he runs all around, all on top of the cars, waits till he comes to the last car, goes down between the cars, gets in the train, says to this guy, he says, this tramp, he says, "Get off." The guy pulls a big revolver. He says, "Who's going to put me off?" He says, "Never mind." And he gets up and runs all the way back. Conductor says, "Did you put Did you put him off? He says, no. He says, he turned out to be my cousin. He says, well, cousin or no cousin, I'll put him off. And he runs back. Runs on top of the trains, goes down, gets in there. He says, get off. The guy pulls a gun on him. So he runs back. So the brakeman says, did you throw him off? He says, no. Funny thing, he turned out to be a cousin of mine, too. So another fella says... So he went and ate the rest of the beans.
Well, Joe, as far as I'm concerned, he laid stone dead in the market that night. Mrs. Lewis will love you.
It's only 100 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Which doesn't top her 350, so she's now the proud possessor of 15 bucks. And, Senator, we haven't heard from you yet.
Now, here's the chance.
What, no beans? Well, this is one of those wacky kind of gags. Silly numbnut is all that her name implies. She has boll weevils and a minaret, but she has a lot of money. So one day she decided to go on an ocean trip on one of the palatial liners, and she's out about a day, and she's standing at the rail when a very dilapidated-looking freighter off in the distance starts blowing its horn. So she said to a sailor, what's that... The awful-looking boat there, blowing its horn at our fine-looking boat here for. He says, that's a tramp steamer. She says, a tramp steamer? He says, yeah, that's a tramp. It wants a nickel for a cup of coffee. That's one of those nutty things. Well, anyhow, that's,
A nickel for a cup. You know, there's a million gags, and I think there's more gags than a guy wants a nickel for a cup of coffee. I heard one about the tramp, the only tramp in the world... That was had a commercial begging idea. He says, give me a nickel for a Maxwell House cup of coffee. Commercial.
Well, I
ate the rest of the beans.
I heard another one. There's another story, too, about the tramp. Says, can I have $200 for a cup of coffee? Says, $200 for a cup of coffee. He says, yeah, I want to go to Brazil. I like it fresh.
Well, how about the guy that says,
wait a minute.
He says, give me 3 cents for a cup of coffee. He says, 3 cents? I thought a cup of coffee was 5 cents. He says, who buys retail?
And I like that's your joke, Senator.
All right. So the guy asked for a penny for a cup of coffee. He says, why a penny? He says, I'm weak in the bean. All right, is that all right?
And I like the
wait a minute, tell my tramp gag, yes.
You told one that was a tramp, Senator. I don't know.
Oh,
you have another one?
Tramp steamer? No. Well, you can count the one about Week in the Bean if you like.
I want to count the one ahead of it.
Well, that other thing, I was only kidding about that. The one I want to tell is about the fella that's going along and he sees a tramp on the corner with a hat in his hand. So he drops the coin in, he walks up the street, and when he comes back, he sees the tramp with two hats, one in each hand. So he says, what's the idea of the other hat? He says, well, business was so good, I opened up a branch office.
I still know one about a British tramp.
You should have started with the branch office, Senator.
That's the gag. That's the other thing. That doesn't mean anything.
Well, I know, but I like that one. I counted that.
You haven't got very good taste.
Can I tell about the British tramp?
You can't until I finish telling about the score, Harry.
What's the score?
Don't rack me up here. The first one got nothing, but the fact that it didn't get anything got 500. So I'll count the nothing. The last two got 1,000.
That's the funniest thing I ever heard of. The fact got nothing, it got 500.
The fact that it got nothing got 500. Everybody seemed to like it. Now we get back to Harry with that 21...
About the British tramp in London stops an American and says, can I have a sixpence for the cup of tea? This American says, why do you British drink so much tea? He says, you should taste our coffee, sir.
You might just as well have avoided that one, Harry.
Well, I know another one like that. The fellow says, have you got something for a cup of coffee? He says, what do you think I carry, lump sugar with me?
Well, all right, so a fella said, I want $1.65 for a cup of coffee. I want to drink it at the Polo Grounds. Is that all right, sir?
More fun, more jokes, coming up in a minute after this word from our sponsor.
This is one sent in by Mrs. Agnes Plant of Kew Gardens, Long Island, New York. And the subject of this joke is something I'm sure you've all been through at one time or another, interview. So, Peter, you can interview yourself on this, and let's see what the result is.
Well, there are no tramps in this story at all. You know, I think it's wonderful. You give these three fellows a story like Tramp, a subject like Tramp, and they all go ahead and they tell bum jokes. It's wonderful. But this is about a Brooklyn girl who, she applied for a job as housemaid, and the lady of the house was interviewing her. And she said, well, now, Phoebe, I hope we can come to terms. I'd like to have you work here. Your references are very good. You apparently cooked for your last employer 7 years until his death.
She says, yeah, some people are so sensitive about ptomaine poisoning, aren't they? She says, I'm very easy to get along with. I'm very, very easy to get along with. You just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll be most cooperative.
So the woman says, well, she said, it's a small family, just my husband and myself. Work isn't hard. She said, to begin with, we serve breakfast at 7:30 in the morning.
So for 7:30? Well, that's awful early, but I tell you what. If I'm not up, don't wait for me. You and your husband eat by yourselves.
$650 is what the Laugh Meter registered, Ward.
Which gives our three boys a little latitude to wander around in, and Joe Laurie's hand was upraised first.
I think it's a little scary story. A fellow was laying on the sidewalk, and his friend was bending over him, and another one of those nosy fellows passed, and he says, drunk? The guy looked up and says, no. He says, what is it, a gag? He says, no. He says, sick? He says, no. He says, oh, one of those dizzy spells, huh, fellow? He says, no, I've known him all my life. He's always been healthy. He says, what's the matter with him? He says, nothing. He just dropped dead.
Well, that was plenty live, Joe. That was
$1,000 on the laugh meter.
Topping Mrs. Plant's $650, so she still has her original $10. And, Senator, I think your hand was up there second.
Well, census taker, that would come under the head of interview, wouldn't it? I mean, census taker interviewing.
Yeah, it makes a little sense.
Well, anyway, census taker went to Fanny Fiddlecroft. She's a kind of, she's a an old maid. She'll never see 50 or 60 again. So the census taker said name, and she said Fanny Fiddlecroft. He wrote that down. Said age. She said 30. So he wrote down 30, nationality, Eskimo. She said, what's the idea of writing Eskimo down there? He said, lady, if you're 30, you must have lived at the North Pole where the days are 6 months long.
Well, that dude it, Senator.
The laugh meter registers $1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Once again, topping Mrs. Plant's $650, so she's still alone with that same $10 that she started with. Harry, are you going to contribute to the cause?
A fellow went out in a rowboat fishing. He went out in the ocean by himself, this goof. And he goes out there, and he's attacked by an octopus, and he fights this octopus off. So the newspaper hears about it and says, well, there's a human interest story. Fellow by himself in a rowboat, fighting off an octopus. So they sent a reporter to interview this guy. So what happened? Says, I was out there, and all of a sudden, I was attacked by a big octopus. Big octopus. Says, I fought him off with the oar. You know, he had all those big hands and everything, and he was going for me, and I knocked him off. Well, he says, didn't you know you were in octopus waters? He said, no. Well, he says, didn't you see some dark, inky fluid on the surface? He said, yes, but I thought it was somebody writing underwater.
Well, that completes the cycle, Harry, with that time. Yes, Joe.
I'd like to tell you, sir, this is not a joke by any means. I just thought of this. This is more philosophy. It's about, Jack Lake told me many years ago, I think he's one of the greatest editors in the country, he told me about a reporter going out to interview a millionaire, a rich millionaire. And he went out there and he saw this beautiful elm tree right next to the house of the millionaire. And he said to this millionaire, he says, it's just a wonderful tree. He says, yes, it is. He says, you see, this tree was about 6 miles up that hill. It has stood there all about 100 years, and I moved it and put it right here, and some mornings when it's nice, I come out and work under it. And the reporter says, isn't it wonderful? He says, it just shows you, if the Lord only had money, what he could do. Well, sorry.
Well, I could tell you what you could do, Joe, with that one.
That was...
Well, here's your chance with a brand new start. Our next joke comes from Harold Bernard Gothrate of Jackson, Michigan. And the subject of this round, all being married, you'll know something about this. Nagging. So, Pete, you take this one to task and let's see what happens.
Well, Mrs. O'Rourke, an Irish lady, was nagging her husband.
She says, ain't you ashamed of yourself? Ain't you ashamed of yourself? You just sit there around there all day like a big leftover meatball. You never go out and get a job or nothing. Ah, you're just a bum, Natalia. You're sitting there. You'll never amount to nothing sitting there that way.
No, no, Maggie, my darling. I said I haven't done any manual toil or exertion. It's true. But after all, I'm entitled to a little rest. I fought in the war.
Still, yes, you did fight in the war, but we've been friends with Cuba for 48 years now. This afternoon, the most awful thing happened. I'm ashamed to face me friends. I went out to do my shopping and I seen you coming out of McGinty's saloon. Ain't you ashamed?
This is a shame because you seen me coming out of McGinty's saloon. For Pete's sake, you didn't expect me to stay in there all day, did you?
Hey, 1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
And Mr. Gothrave automatically gets $25. Our three wits are out for nothing but laughs this time.
Laurie and Ishbael had their hands up right away. They know a lot about nagging.
Well, I'm a little suspicious, but eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and so will pick on Harry.
Well, you know, in the European trains, the compartments, two or three or four sit in just one compartment. Different than they have the trains here. They're all strangers. So two fellas in civilian clothes there, Hans and this mysterious person, and Hans is smoking. And this fella opposite says, "This is not the smoking compartment. Please stop smoking." So Hans keeps right on smoking. And this fella keeps nagging on the point. "You can't smoke in here. I wouldn't stand for this. This is not the smoking compartment." And Hans keeps on smoking. And finally, this other fella lifts, jumps up, takes out his card, gives it to Hans, and Hans reads it, and the card reads, "General von Schnutz." But he keeps right on smoking, and von Schnutz can't stand it any longer, and he runs out and says, "Conductor, the man in there is smoking. It's against the law. I want you to throw him out." So the conductor runs in there and says, "You can't smoke in here." With that, Hans gives the conductor his card. The conductor looks at the card, and he salutes Hans, and he runs out again. The other fellow said, "You throw him out?" He says, "I'm afraid to. He ain't been right in the head since he lost the last battle."
900 is the final score in the laugh meter, Ward.
Sort of sneaked up even at that. Doesn't top Mr. Gothrate's 1,000, so he still has his 25. And, Joe, I guess you were second.
Yeah, a fellow is hollering, "Help, help, help, help." And a cop runs up to him and says, "What's the matter?" He says, "What's the matter?" He says, "My mother-in-law was nagging me, and we had an argument and everything, and now she wants to jump out of the window." So the cop says, "Let her jump." He says, "What do you think I'm hollering help for? I can't open the window."
Very good, Joseph, my boy.
1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Tying Mr. Gothrate's 1,000, but not topping it. The 25 is still there. And, Senator, how about you?
Well, there were two kids talking about their families, and one kid said, "Gee whiz, nothing ever happens over at your house at all. It's always nice and quiet over there." The other kid said, "Yeah, it's always nice and quiet." And the first kid said, your people must have been married by a justice of the peace. But he said, "Over at your house, there's always nagging and hollering and arguments and whatnot. It still looks like your family was married by a secretary of war." Well, there were two men standing at a bar. One was married, and the other one was too smart. So the hooked guy said, "You don't know anything about married life. It's a wonderful thing." The other fellow says, What makes you think I don't know anything about married life?" He says, "Well, you never were a husband, were you?" He says, "No, I never was a husband. I never was a hen either. But I know more about good eggs than any hen in the country."
Just halfway up on the laugh meter, Ward. 500 this time.
Not much in the way of nagging, but it fits in the
eye. The tramp turned out to be his cousin.
Don't go away. We'll have another round of jokes in a few moments.
Well, here we go once again, fellas, and here's a joke sent in by Miss Mary McWilliams of Dallas, Texas, deep in the heart of, and this one is on something we'll all be doing very shortly with the holidays coming up, shopping. Shopping. So, Pete, see if you can make a bargain out of this one, will you?
Well, this is about my friend, Mrs. Abercrombie Fapoofnik, and she was out shopping. She went into the furniture department of a store.
"Shabu, Mr. Coy, come here. She says, "We just bought a house out in the suburbs. So I want to buy something for the garden. It would be real snappy."
So he said, "Yes, madam, for the garden." He said, "How about a sprinkler to spray water on your flowers?"
She says, "Sprinkles water? You got one that gives milk? We got mostly pussy willows."
So woman said, well, how about for the garden, how about a nice hammock?
She said, the hammock, schmammock. I wouldn't want one. Once upon a time, we had a hammock, and my husband slept in it one afternoon, and he woke up double like a pretzel, like a Jake knife, right in half.
He says, how could your husband get doubled up by sleeping in a hammock?
She says, well, by mistake, he hung both ends on the same hook. It was no good at all. Wait a minute. I got a wonderful idea. Maybe it would make the garden look really chippy if we had a sundial.
He said, yes, madam, we have some very nice sundials. Over here, we have the low price. Here's the medium price. And over here, we have the very special kind. This is made of the finest stone. It's got a hand tool, figures on it, and a wrought iron dial.
She says, well, that's all right, but it's not exactly what I want.
He says, what do you mean it's not exactly what you want?
She says, well, confidentially, you see, I want to tell the time also at night, so give me a sundial with a luminous face.
That one made the top. 1,000 on the lap.
We're once again putting our three wits out for nothing but glory and laughs. And, Senator, I think your hand was upraised first.
Well, it is a little gag that I think might be all right. Tootsie Farm, Wortland, Topi Tildock went out shopping, Christmas shopping. So, Tootsie said, I don't know what to buy for me Uncle George. So Topi said, why don't you get him a tie? Tootsie said, who wants a tie? Topi said, Army and Notre Dame was glad to get one last Saturday.
It almost made it. But only 9.50 is what the laugh meter says, Ward.
I don't know what they were shopping for, but it's all right.
For a tie.
Oh, I see. Shopping for a tie. Well, it's nice to have those things understood. Harry, how about you?
Mrs. Clayton Van Kvetch II, very, very ritzy dame, who was the kind of a world all to herself. She didn't care what went on with government or anything. Finally, big holiday came, and they said that she would have to have an American flag up on her building. So she goes into a flag store and says, I would like to buy an American flag. So they brought out a lot of flags of different sizes, and she looked at it and says, fine. But to have you do it in any other colors besides the red, white, and blue?
150 on the last meter for that joke, Ward.
Joe, it's up to you to
well,
either.
A Russian refugee had a job in a cigar store. So he's been there quite a little while, and one day a woman customer comes in, and he says, I am so happy to see you today. He says, because today we have a penny sale. He says, what do you mean a penny sale? He says, today, you know the cigarettes you always buy for 20 cents a package? She says, yes. He says, today we give 2 packages for 21 cents. She says, oh, that's fine. I'll take 2 packages for 21 cents. He says, I am sorry. We only sell 1 to a customer.
750 on the laugh meter for that joke, Ward.
But a little kid came into the drugstore up in my hometown. He said to the druggist, I want some of that flesh-reducing medicine. And the druggist said, anti-fat? He said, no, it's for my uncle.
That was the one you referred to, I trust, huh?
You know the one about the fellow goes in the sporting goods house and he says, give me a half a ping-pong table? He says, a half a ping-pong table? What's the idea? He says, my wife doesn't play.
Fellas, don't look now, but this is only a half-hour program, and a couple more like that, it'll be shortened up.
Oh, no, enough.
Well, on the strength of that, I'm going to call a halt to you fellas tonight because that's just about all the time we're going to have. But before we leave, I would like to ask the audience to be sure and join Can You Top This again next week. The same time, same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Laurie Jr.
Peter Donald.
Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long. And take care of yourself until we meet again next time.